For the last 4 weeks, we've been actually laying foundations. We're going to be launching into more and more of what the Bible says about the incredible inheritance that God has for us. And our objective in this series is to unpack the incredible life, the abundant blessings of God that God has brought to us in Christ, and bring understanding to that. Help our people live the lifestyle of aggressive pursuit of the kingdom. And in that kingdom, all of the things that Jesus purchased for us by his blood, the inheritance that he has for us, all these things that are in Christ. And so I want to start today. We're going to talk about where the inheritance begins. And I felt to do that. We could have actually started with that at the beginning, but my wife launched this series off with a thunder and a lightning and a storm. Those of you who are here, a pretty hard act to follow. And well, praise God for how he does things. I was under the weather, and I said to her the night before Sunday, I'm just not going to be able to do this. And she said, I can do it, I can do it. And she'd already been writing all day long, as she usually does. And she wrote all day and all night. And maybe not quite all night, but... And out of that came the incredible introduction to the series on inheritance. And but this message could have been near to the beginning, but I really felt to share it today. And I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1, just reading a verse. We're going to actually look at a number of passages. And this passage, God uses terms to describe the greatness of the inheritance. And the terms that he uses are very superfluous. They're very extreme. And you can tell when you listen to this how God feels about the inheritance. I want to tell you, he actually is pretty excited about the inheritance. Last week, we preached a message on what one aspect of what the inheritance is. And we preached on the passage of Scripture where Abraham, you remember the story where Lot had been taken captive by raiders and all of his house and everything. And, you know, the city of Sodom was taken away in captivity. And Abraham goes to rescue his nephew, Lot. And not only does God deliver the nephew and his family into his hand, he delivered the entire army and all their goods. And then when he comes back, the king of Sodom says to Abraham, listen, Abraham, you won the battle, and you can have absolutely anything you want. And then Abraham, in such an incredible statement of the kind of a heart that he had, he said, I will exalt, I will praise, I will honor the name of the Lord my God. And he says to the king of Sodom, he says, I will not even take so much as a single shoelace unless God says that he has blessed me. So God visited him in a dream. And that night, and in that dream, we have this most incredible statement where because of his heart to honor God and his heart to only receive from the Lord, God said to him, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And I want to say to you today, for those of you who are new to this series, maybe you're hearing some of this for the first time, God is actually our inheritance. He is He himself is our exceeding great reward. And the all of life, I was going to say the Christian life, but in fact, all of life, the whole purpose of life and our existence on earth, all of this was created ultimately for the purpose for us finding God. This whole world exists. The Bible says all things are created by him and for him. And it also says that we were created by him and for him. We were created for his pleasure. And you may not know it. Maybe you've wandered into this place. Maybe somebody invited you, and you're hearing some of this stuff for the first time. But I want to say to you today Whether you understand it or not, your life was created for God. You exist because of God. And God brought you into this world to find him. That's why you're here. And you may be journeying through this life as though, you know, just whatever happens, happens. Like Moses was. You know, just going about his business. In his case, he had gone into the backside of the desert. He was working for his father-in-law, who was a shepherd. He was minding his own business in life, just living life. And then God had an appointment for him. And that appointment came in the form of a burning bush. And, you know, I mean, it's not uncommon to see bushes burn in a desert. But in this case, this bush burned. And it burned and it burned, and it wasn't quenched. It didn't stop. And so Abraham is curious about this. He wants to know why isn't this bush consumed? You know, surely with that much flame, this thing should have disappeared by now. And out of curiosity, he goes and he comes before this burning bush, and the Spirit of God speaks to him out of the burning bush, and he identifies himself as God. And he says to him, take the shoes from off your feet, the place that you are standing, this holy ground. Now, I believe that the Spirit of God has burning bush experiences or other kinds of experiences that are like that for all of us. Sometimes it's gradual events that occur where the Spirit of God stirs things happen in our lives that we don't have answers to. You know, in my case, before I came to Christ, I had a strange little miracle going on that was preparing me for coming to Christ. And those of you who know my testimony, I was a drug dealer. That's how I made my living in my teen years. And I also made my love. It was not my love, but I made my living by traveling back and forth from Vancouver into the interior of BC delivering drugs. But I had a really strange thing happen to me in the last year of that lifestyle. Every single community that I came into, I was drawn to churches. Now, I was not the kind of guy you'd ever see in a church. I didn't want to go into those places if there were people there. I really did not want to go in there. But I would go and I would check the door. And if the door was open and I looked inside and there was nobody there, I would go and I would sit in that church. And I didn't know what was going on, of course, now we know, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for a while, you understand there's nothing in a building. It's just a building. Churches are just buildings. They're made out of wood or brick or whatever they made of. They're just buildings. But God was preparing me, and he was drawing me. And so I would go in, and I would sit there, and I would become aware. I'd become aware of the presence of God. And all of that was for the purpose of the day that I would walk into a church at my mom's invitation. That was preparing me for the possibility of going into. How many have ever heard of anybody being scared of going to church? Anyone ever been scared of going to church? There are people like that. Some of them are here. But I was scared of going to church. And it's not because of the devil or because of judgment or anything like that. I was so far removed from anything like you. I had hair down past my bottom, and I was a strung out IV drug user. I had lost, I don't know how many pounds, I was down to about 135 pounds. I was in really, really tough shape. And the last place I wanted to be was with a bunch of people I couldn't relate to, talk to, understand. I couldn't understand you guys. But God was drawing me. And then I ended up at my mom's house, and she saw the shape that I was in, and she had been praying for me from the time I was a child, and she just knew. I mean, if something doesn't happen here, this guy's going to end up dead. And so she began the war that night. It was a Saturday night, and I had made a lot of money from selling drugs the night before. I had the remainder of the drugs in my pocket, and I had the money in my other pocket. And here's my mother trying to convince me to go to church. And Now, I don't know if you will understand this. I don't know if you will be able to relate to this, but I had all-out war going on inside me. I mean, why would I have war about going to a church service? But, I mean, literally, I could hear voices. I could hear voices inside my head, literally saying out loud in my head, "Don't go, do not go, don't go there." And with that voice, there was a heaviness, and there was an oppression, and there was, you know, it was strong. And then there was another voice, and it wasn't oppressive or anything like that. It was gentle, and I could actually hear that voice saying to me, "You must go, you must go, you must go." And I actually burst into tears, and I'm not supposed to cry. In that culture, you don't cry. You have to be tough. You never show your feelings. You have to be that way. And so here I am. My mom is all she's doing is talking to me about going to church, and I am falling apart. And finally I said, "Oh, all right." And I said that just to get her off my back. You know, maybe if I say I'll go, she'll leave me alone. And I had no idea what was going to happen the next day. But I got to a building, a church, and I had already been used to walking into churches by then, never with people in them. But I walked. She escorted me into that church. We sat right at the very back, and I experienced not just the presence of God. I did. I experienced the presence of God. I felt God, and I felt His love for me. I know that's hard to explain. But it was tangible, it was real, and I was a complete mess, and yet here I was experiencing this. I can't tell you what was preached, but I have no idea what was preached that day, but I knew this. There was someone there greater than all of you who could actually help me in the circumstance of my life. And I cried out to Him. And I remember the prayer that I prayed that day. When I walked out of that meeting, I said, "God, if you can somehow make something of the tangled mess that I've made of my life, I will know that you're real, and I'll serve you." I mean, I said that prayer, and that day, something happened in my life. Now, I know that some of us may have an idea that the way people come to Christ is complicated. You have to read the four spiritual laws. You have to go through a whole bunch of rituals and indoctrination, you got to take these certain courses and stuff like that. And if you answer all the questions right, then you can come. And I want to suggest to you that there's all kinds of people in the Bible that never went through that. They just heard Jesus, they just met Jesus, they just responded and they believed, and the Spirit of God saved them. And then they worked on figuring it all out. which I had to do. I had a lot to figure out. But that day, my life was completely changed. Now, I'm sharing this today because I'm talking about where the inheritance begins. Where the inheritance begins. This is where it begins. What I'm sharing with you today, this is where the whole thing starts. And so for me, on that day, I had a miracle take place. I had been an IV drug user. I was 17 at that time, almost 18. Actually, no, I just turned 18. And I had been an IV drug user from the time I was 15. So that's 3 years. It's not a long time by, IV drug user standards. But that's enough to get you killed. And it's also enough to completely destroy your life. And my life was completely destroyed. My personality was destroyed. My confidence, I was utterly and completely insecure. I could not even carry on a normal conversation with another person, even one-on-one. That's how, I mean, you've seen people on the street like that. Their eyes are glazed over. They may be twitching or whatever the case may be, and they're in terrible shape. That's exactly where I was. And that day, I got delivered 100% completely set free from addiction. And I know this doesn't happen to everybody. You know, some people have to overcome their addictions other ways, but I'm grateful that it happened for me that way. But in an instant, I was completely delivered from drug addiction. And I didn't even know that I was. And the other thing that happened that day was, and I know this is also hard to explain, but the world looked different, you know. And, you know, it's almost cliche. But people say, you know, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the trees were, you know. That happened to me. And I have no explanation for it, but it just happened. Everything was different. From that moment when I just said that to God, you know, if you can make something of the tangled mess I've made of my life, I'll know you're real and I'll serve you. I gave my life to him in that moment. And that it took a few days before I discovered it. I was no longer addicted. And you know, I ended up throwing away the drugs that I had. I ended up taking the wad of bills that I had made in the bar on Friday night and stuffing them in a little Christian coffee house donation thing. And I walked away from that world, set free. And now, fortunately for me, I was living in Quesnel, and all of my druggy friends were in Quesnel. I had come up to Prince George to sell some drugs, but also to visit my mom, and I didn't really know anybody in the city. And so God, that was another part of my deliverance, was God had to get me out of the place that I was in. Because everything around me was, my whole world surrounded, all of my friends, everything like that. The only world that I knew in that place was the drug culture. So I just want to talk just for a minute about these serendipitous moments, okay, where the Spirit of God works in our lives to bring us to the place where we start the journey. And there are a few of those in the Bible. And one of the most interesting ones, it's a familiar one to us. It's found in John chapter 4. And it's the story of the Samaritan woman. And I just want to touch on this just for a moment. And let me back up and give you another story before I tell you that one. Most people live their lives as though there's not much more than what they're experiencing right now. The average person in our town who doesn't know God lives their life without a huge amount of awareness that there is this entire universe of experience, this entire universe of life with the one who is life, an encounter with the one who is truth, an encounter with the one who actually has all of the answers to all of our needs and all of our solutions, all the solutions to all of our situations, and who has the power actually to come into our lives and transform us. People live their lives daily going about their business as though there's nothing, you know, much more out there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of Christians live their lives that way. Okay? There's a lot of Christians who already know God, who live their life every day as expecting not a whole lot out of the day that they're living, or the week, or, you know, there isn't a profound sense of anticipation. Now, I'm going to tell you just a little teeny bit about my wife. You may have noticed this. I put her on the spot here. She's always been a person who was studious. She's always been a person of the Word. But something happened to her when our daughter passed away in October. She was already doing this down in Vancouver, but there was a fire lit under her. And I have watched my wife since October, absolutely so hungry, so passionate, so on fire to get anything of the knowledge of God. She carries around this ridiculous, well, there's actually about four or five or six of these notebooks of all shapes and sizes everywhere she goes. She's constantly writing things down. We watch a television show. A commercial comes on television, and she gets at her pen, and she starts writing down because, listen to this carefully, the Spirit of God is speaking to her all the time. Now, I don't know completely how to explain this except this. She has an absolute full expectation that she's going to find Jesus around the next corner, in the next situation, in the next room, on the next little thing. Last night, you know, is a classic example of it. Caleb had his birthday. Happy birthday to you, Caleb. The big 3-0. And we had a bit of a birthday party. My wife went out, I don't know what time in the afternoon, 2 o'clock or something like that. She went out to help set up for the birthday party. I arrived there right at 6 o'clock for the birthday party. And, you know, we had a great time. We laughed, we ate, we played games. And about half an hour into the evening, my wife disappears. My wife disappears. I had no idea where she was. And so and after a while, I'm thinking, she's left without me. And, you know, so I actually got my phone and I texted her. I said, hey, where are you? And she said, I'm in the prayer room. And she had, which is right next door to where we were meeting. I went into the prayer room. And here's my wife writing on the board in the prayer room things that God is speaking to her. You know? And I said, why did you come into this room? She said, I just needed some time alone, and I just wanted to come and pray, and, you know, and God's been speaking to me. And so I just use her for an example because she's a really good example. She fully expects to see God in every situation that she's in. She fully expects that God is going to speak to her virtually anywhere she goes in any circumstance. And she fully expects that God is actually going to use her. Now, I know I'm praising my wife in a huge way here today. And I am praising her in a huge way. But she is one of the best illustrations that I know of someone who has discovered that God is in every... a friend of ours from Toronto used to put it this way. There is a message from God in every hair, on every little point, on every blade of grass in the universe. There is a message from God in everything that we see in all creation. And so, you know, some people, I can't remember what the saying is, some people live their lives asleep, and there are other people who live their lives awake and absolutely full of wonder. And I want to say to you today that God wants to wake us up. He really does. He wants to wake us up and show us and show us that He actually can be present and we can experience Him in every circumstance. And I wanted to just share with you one little story about me. I traveled to South Africa there was a large team of us from this church that went to South Africa. And at the end of we went to the World Equip with our group of churches called NCMI, and we went on a missions trip to Botswana. We did a little bit of game parking, and then after that we went down to Cape Town. Now, in Cape Town, there is a mountain called Table Mountain. Now, I happen to live in BC, and I've lived in BC pretty much my whole life except one terrible excursion of 6 months in the flat land of Saskatchewan. And I am kidding. Saskatchewan's made by God too. And there are some pretty interesting experiences in Saskatchewan. However, I've seen mountains. I've seen the Rocky Mountains. I've seen the Coast Mountains. I've seen the mountains in between. I've seen the mountains in southern BC. I've seen the mountains in northwest British Columbia that go into Alaska. We live in the middle of the mountains. What on earth would I ever? Why would I ever want to go see a mountain in South Africa, especially when you look at it on the map? It isn't even really a mountain, you know. And so I had wiped that off of my list of things to see. You know, I mean, the rest of you guys could go up Table Mountain, but I'm not interested. You know, it's just going to be a waste of my time because I've seen mountains before. And on the day that we were figuring out what to do, and we had a bunch of people wanted to go up Table Mountain. I said, oh, all right, I'll go up Table Mountain. But from the moment that we started, there's a gondola that goes up from the bottom. I realized this is no ordinary mountain. And, you know, it's an incredible outcropping of earth that rises straight out of the earth. It's got the whole mountain is surrounded by dirt that has gradually eroded off the mountain, and there's trails. People are walking up these trails to climb up onto the thing. And when you get up on top of the mountain, it's actually weather-worn stones that are all flat. The whole top of the mountain is flat, like little teeny, you know, stepping stones, but they're giant. And it's like a fairyland up there, you know. It's nothing like any mountain I'd ever seen in British Columbia. The other thing that was happening was there was little funny critters that I'd never seen running all over the place on this mountain, and it really was an incredible experience. And then at the end of the thing, when we were about to come down, this warning came out. We had to get off the mountain quickly because the wind was starting to rise, and if we didn't get off by a certain time, nobody gets off the mountain, because the wind is howling over that mountain. And we came off the mountain and got down, and then you could see the cloud, this huge cloud, I think they call it the sheet or the blanket, I can't remember, something like that, tablecloth, that's what it was. And this cloud is roaring off the mountain, and as soon as it just goes over the edge of the mountain, it starts to go down into the valley. It's just rushing, this rushing cloud coming off the mountain and coming down into the valley. And I realized this is a sight I've never beheld before. And I just share that with you. We sometimes miss the best things in God because we have no expectation whatsoever that we're going to see something wonderful. And I'm talking Christians here. Non-Christians, they live their life without, maybe they haven't met God yet. They don't know what it's like to experience Him. They don't know how, this incredible thing, the incredible riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, the incomparable great power for us who believe. That's a non-concept for them. Maybe they have an excuse to live where they live. They haven't come to know God yet. But as Christians, we have no excuse. We have encountered Him. And I want to share with you today, God wants us to live every single day of our lives with an expectation that God is going to show up, and God is going to be there, and God is going to speak to us, and God is going to bring us into the things that He has for our lives. So, the Samaritan woman is an example of this. And I just wanted to share this story with you briefly. The Samaritan woman was a person who not only had she not only did she have no expectation that anything was going to happen that day, she had no expectation in her life that anything really good was going to ever come her way. And she was a woman who had a very broken life. She had five husbands, not all at once, one after the other. Five husbands would be a problem. How many of you ladies would say yes to that? She had five husbands. Now, and the Bible doesn't tell us that those husbands died and she married the next one. In fact, the context, the way Jesus says it to her, when He speaks this bit of information that, you know, God... It's like a word of knowledge. There was no way that He could humanly know that, you know, but as God He could. But He actually revealed something to her about her life. He told her something about her life that He could never have known. He was a stranger, you know, traveling through town, happened to meet at a well, and He says this thing to her. You have five husbands, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband. And, of course, that got her attention in a big way. But many people walk through life without a high expectation of encountering God, okay? Without a high expectation that God actually is looking for them, and He's actually wanting to reveal Himself. He's actually wanting to, and I want to say this to you today here in this room, okay? Get off my chair for a minute. I want to say this to you, and I'm going to hobble a little bit, but just it's okay. I want you to hear me. Okay, where you're living, the circumstances of your life. God wants to show up in your life. And he does that to a large degree because of the expectation that we have. I'm talking about the way my wife lives. You can live that way. You can live in a way that you expect God to be continuously showing up, continuously speaking to you, continuously ministering into you, and continuously ministering through you. Now, I'm going to say to you, that's the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is not God showing up every month or so. You know, the normal Christian life is not you hearing from God. You know, I heard from God in 1974. You know, and I'm sure that if he wants to talk to me, he'll speak to me again. The normal Christian life, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." That's the normal Christian life. Full expectation that the God who has come to take up residence inside your life actually wants to interact with you. He actually wants to speak to you and speak through you to other people. So this Samaritan woman, you know, there she is. She comes to the well like she always does. You know, that time of the day, you know, people would come and they would get their water rations for the day at the village well. She had no expectation that anything was going to happen. And she arrives at the well, and Jesus, unknowing to her, Jesus told his disciples, when he was outside of the land of Samaria, he told his disciples, and the King James says it this way, "I must needs go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria." And those of you who know the history and the context, Jews did not go through Samaria. Samaria was a forbidden place. Jews didn't have any contact with Samaritans. Samaritans were, in a sense, a half-breed nation in the eyes of the Jew. You know, they were part Jewish and they were part something else. And they were looked down on. The religious leaders of the day would not even have relationship or even speak to. If they touched a Samaritan, they would go and wash themselves ceremoniously because they felt they had become unclean. That's how low of the low these people were treated in that day. And yet Jesus says, "I have to go through Samaria." And the reason why he went through Samaria was because he had an appointment with a woman who had a 100% completely messed up life that was going nowhere. And she had lived destruction. She had given herself over to lifestyles who knows what was happening in the marriages, but they did not go well. And, you know, I don't know who knows how many kids she had with however many fathers. You know, I mean, and this is happening today. Sometimes these are normal families around us in our society today. And I'm sharing this with you for a reason. I'm sharing this with you because God is looking for everybody. And there are some of you, maybe you walked into this place and you thought to yourself, and there are people who think this way, in order for me to go to church, I have to make sure that I didn't sin this week. Or I have to somehow make myself better. Or I'm not good enough to go to church. You know what? I didn't have a really bad week this week, didn't sin a whole pile. Okay, I'm clean enough to go to church. You know? And when in actual fact, the kind of people that Jesus wants in church the most, he wants the greatest sinners, the most broken people, the halt, the lame, the blind. You know, all of that is symbolic of messed up lives. Yes, he wants people who are actually, like me, halt and lame and blind. Should you invite your friends to church who have these messed up lives and they're going through all this stuff? Absolutely! Because Jesus cares about them. And he wants to see the journey toward the fullness of inheritance that he has for them begin by them experiencing what I experienced and what the Samaritan woman experienced. And so there's this beautiful conversation that happens with the Samaritan woman. And the very first thing that happens is Jesus is sitting at the well and he asks the woman to give him something to drink. And then she immediately breaks into the norm of what was going on at that day. She says, "How is it that you, a Jew are asking me, a Samaritan, and she didn't say a Samaritan woman, you know, but that was even worse than just a Samaritan back in those days. You know, not only was she a Samaritan, but she was a Samaritan woman, and that was viewed even less by the Jewish religious people. So why is it that you're talking to me? And Jesus says this, and I want to say this to you today. Okay, this is a word from God to you. You may have walked into this place, and you are hearing about God. There's something stirring inside of you. You want to know Him. There's a reason why you're here. And I want to say to you today what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He's saying to you, please hear this. Jesus is saying this to you. If you knew who it was that's talking to you, you would ask Him, and He would give you water that if you drink it, you'll never thirst. In other words, he bypassed all of the, all of the struggles, all the mess of the life, all the things that she had, experienced, all the reasons that we humans have not to associate with people like that. Jesus doesn't think the way we do. He actually goes after the people who are broken because He has the answer for their brokenness. He actually goes after the people who are going through hell because He has answers for their lives. He goes after people who are going about life as though there is nothing more to this life than what they're experiencing. And He supernaturally intervenes. He comes down in ways that we do not expect and begins to stir their hearts, begins to create something inside of them. Sometimes He reveals Himself to them. And so I want to say it again today. I don't know what you came here looking for today. Maybe you just went to church because that's what people do. They go to church. But I want to say to you today, Jesus says exactly the same thing to you. If you knew who it was who was talking to you, can I say it to you this way? If you knew who it was who came into this place this morning, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If you knew who it was that walks with you outside this place, into your home, and what He has promised you, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I've got a bunch of scriptures written down here I don't have time to read. God says, I'm going to make my dwelling place with you. I'm going to come and live inside you, and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you in your life. I'm actually going to come and live inside of you. If you knew that God wants to be with you every second of every single day, when you rise up in the morning, He wants to begin to minister into your life and speak to you and touch you. If you knew that He was the one that had living water for you, you would ask of Him, and He would give you. He would give you something to drink that you would never thirst again. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the reality for the person who has come to know Jesus Christ. If you haven't come to know Jesus Christ, God wants you to come to know Him. Jesus said it this way. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, that Holy Spirit is going to be like a fountain of living water. You know, He said it this way. He said, out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, I have some water to give you that if you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again. But it isn't water that you can that you don't need to travel somewhere to get the water. You don't need to go someplace to get this. If you walked into this place today and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you gave your life to Christ sometime way in the back, and you know, somewhere back there in your life, but you don't have an expectation of giving your life to Him today. I want to say to you, you can give your life to Him every single day of your life. You can open your heart to Him every single day, and He wants to come in, and He wants to be life to you. He wants to be the voice of life to you. He wants to be the fountain of living water. This is what he said. Those who believe in me, those who receive me, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, Christian, if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe you haven't taken the cap off the well for a while. And we don't do that by some ritual or some religious thing. You know, you don't do that by going to church. I'm going to go to church, take the cap off the well today. No, we take the cap off the well everywhere we are. Why? Because God has come. God, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, has come to take up residence inside me. And he is a God who speaks. He's a God who communicates. He's a God who talks. He's a God who ministers to us. He's a God who encourages. He's a God who comforts. He's a God who strengthens. He's a God who answers the hard questions of our life. He's the God who is with us in the good times when there's not a single cloud in the sky and all life is going well. You know, day after day, man, it's been so good. He's the God that's with you in those times. And he wants you to experience him in all of the mountaintops. And he's also the God of the valleys. When all hell is breaking loose, you don't know which way is up. You have been blindsided. You have been taken out at the knees. The circumstances, your health, your work, you know, relationships, offenses, who knows what they are. The government's after you. Who knows? I don't know what's going on in your life. You're running from the law. When I got saved, this is real confession time here. When I got saved, I had three charges against me. Assaulting a police officer, resisting arrest, and obstructing justice. They moved it from summary conviction, which is a maximum of 2 years, to indictable, potential of 5 years in prison for every count. And I got saved in the middle of that. And I'm going to be honest with you. Now, every person in jail says I'm innocent. I was actually innocent. I was guilty of a lot of other things, but that one I was innocent of. I'll tell you the story sometime, but that's where God got me, you know? I was in deep trouble. I would have ended up in prison had God not intervened in that situation and saved my life. Now, are you still happy to have a guy like me leading your church? A little cranial cavity. My pastor has a low cranial cavity and beady eyes. He's a typical criminal type, but man, he can speak well. No. Praise God, it's 40 years in my past. All I want to say to you today, you have an incredible inheritance out in front of you. That inheritance is God himself. It's everything in his nature. It's everything in his character. It's his power. It's his purposes that he wants to live through you and touch this world around you. He wants to transform your home. He wants to make your marriage the most incredible thing you can possibly imagine. He wants to create a household where your kids are healthy and well and know God and rise up in a way that you're proud of them. You actually, you know, enjoy their company. God wants to do that with you. He wants to fill every crevice, corner, and crack of your life. I have to quit. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.